Now, the future of abortion rights in the United States seems to be on shaky ground following the announcement of Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement at the end of the month. Kennedy has been a swing vote on the court for years and was the deciding vote in a 1992 challenge to Roe v. Wade that kept the ruling the law of the land. Abortion is a controversial topic, and it's an issue that President Trump said he'd address specifically with Supreme Court nominations when he ran for office. With Kennedy's retirement, Trump could make good on his promise and appoint a pro-life judge to replace Kennedy. Our next guest is here to talk about the fight over abortion on both sides of the issue and talk about the disconnect between public opinion and Capitol Hill. Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and the host of Kaiser's What the Health podcast. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's set the stage for a moment on this issue. We're going to go back to 2016 during the presidential campaign. Let's take a listen to President Trump on the issue of Roe v. Wade during a debate with Hillary Clinton.
If that would happen, because I am pro-life and I will be appointing pro-life judges, I would think that that will go back to the individual states.
But I'm asking you specifically, would you like to...
If they overturned it, it'll go back to the states.
But what I'm asking you, sir, is... do you want to see the court overturn? You just said you want to see the court protect the Second Amendment. Do you want to see the court overturn Roe v. Wade?
Well, if we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court. I will say this, it will go back to the states, and the states will then make a determination.
President Trump could make good on this progress. How is that making pro-life proponents feel, Julie?
Well, they're very excited. Certainly those who work on this issue pretty much exclusively are very excited. But, you know, this happens whenever there's an open seat on the Supreme Court and a Republican is going to appoint that person that people say, oh, well, we're not necessarily for overturning Roe v. Wade. We just want, you know, good jurists who will obey the Constitution. They try to sort of back away from it. Some of it is because they, you know, we saw this when Justice Roberts and Justice Alito were up when they were nominated by President George W. Bush. You know, they want to sort of leave it open. They don't want to come out and say we would vote to overturn Roe. But it's pretty clear. I mean, we've seen from the things that they have written since they've gotten on the court that that's likely the case. And, you know, that's the kind of drama we're likely to see this time again, which is someone nominated, you know, President said the other day that he wouldn't even ask them about Roe. But, of course, the group of people that he's looking at have all been vetted by the Federalist Society, which, you know, is sort of dedicated to, among other things, overturning Roe. So one presumes that everybody on that list would vote to overturn Roe if and when they got that chance.
And what has been the reaction since Justice Kennedy's announcement? What's been the reaction from pro-choice advocates who want to see Roe v. Wade kept in its entirety in place?
Well, they're, of course, you know, upset and you know, and stomping up and down and getting very excited. And what's interesting is that, you know, that has also been the case, you know, every time there's been an opening on the court for the last 30 or so years. But I think this time, there's only been one other time, and that was actually, I think, when Kennedy was appointed, where Roe has been this close to, when there's been this close to being a majority on the Supreme Court that pretty clearly would vote to overturn Roe. There have been some surprises over the years. Justice Kennedy himself was one of them when he voted to uphold it. Justice David Souter, who was nominated by George H.W. Bush, also turned out to be something of a supporter, you know, lukewarm, but an occasional vote for abortion rights. And, of course, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who was appointed by President Reagan, also turned out to be a supporter to some extent of some right to abortion. It seems that is not likely to happen again with another Republican appointment.
Obviously, abortion is a big point of debate in the culture, in the society, among voters of different stripes, very strong opinions. But those are not legal opinions. The Supreme Court is supposed to be judging constitutionality and really, you know, limiting how much they change things that are in place unless there's a good reason to change it. What are the legal arguments for overturning Roe v. Wade or taking it apart piecemeal so much that it really doesn't resemble the original law?
Well, of course, there is a legal argument that it was wrongly decided back in 1973. That this is the tension. Do you weigh the fact that it has now been in place for 45 years, or do you say it was a mistake when it happened and it's time to rectify that mistake? So, I mean, these are very skilled legal minds. They can argue either way, but as you mentioned, they can also go a third way, which is to basically uphold other restrictions on abortion that would make Roe exist and yet access to abortion would be, largely unavailable, certain in broad swaths of the country. I should point out that that's true now. There are broad swaths of the country that have, if they're lucky, one abortion provider. Many states have lengthy waiting periods, some of which have been challenged in court, some of which have not, that make it very, very difficult, if not almost impossible, for many women to access abortion, even though it's still technically legal everywhere in the country.
So going back to that position that it was wrongfully put into place all those many years ago, what is the argument, what is the legal argument that it was a bad decision?
That is, yes, and the Supreme Court has overturned decisions before. It does happen. They do overturn things. So that there is certainly a chance of that. Now, they're not going to just, the Supreme Court doesn't work, as then-candidate Trump said, it doesn't just happen. They would have to do it in the context of a case that is before them. But there are a number of abortion restrictions that are working their way through the pipeline towards the Supreme Court, and many of them could be used, if they wanted to overturn Roe. The Texas case from 2 years ago, where there was some concern that the court might, this was particularly before Justice Scalia passed away, there was some concern that they might use that to overturn Roe. In fact, they used it to uphold Roe. Justice Kennedy voted with the liberals and made a 5-4 majority to strike down a number of Texas requirements. And now there are actually a number of other states with similar requirements are being sued to say that, well, under what the court decided in that Texas case, your requirements should go away also. Things like requiring doctors to have hospital admitting privileges in order to be able to perform abortions.
We're talking with Julie Rovner right now. She's chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and she is the host of the What the Health podcast for Kaiser. We're talking about abortion and the announcement of Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement from the U.S. Supreme Court and what that means for the issue. Now, Julie, some have said that Roe v. Wade won't be overturned, that it's precedent, that it's been in place, and that this whole argument is getting blown out of proportion. How would you assess that?
I think in the past I have frequently said that that's not the case. I don't think that is the case anymore. I think it's entirely possible that it could be overturned, if not likely, given assuming that whoever the president nominates is approved, which seems not a slam dunk, but likely. I don't think it will happen right away. As I mentioned, it's going to have to wait for a case to get there. Or even more likely, some of the cases that get there, the new Supreme Court will uphold regulations that the Supreme Court with Justice Kennedy would not have. And basically, that's what people refer to as sort of hollowing out Roe. So it will exist, but not to any really sort of usable extent.
Andrew,
I think one of those two things is extremely likely.
Andrew on Facebook writes, no one should support a nominee over a single issue. However, a nominee's stance on a single issue should bar them from confirmation if their stance is contrary to long-established precedent or the spirit of the Constitution. And how much does that play into justices deciding what they will hear or stances that they take? If something has been in place for decades, does that give it more weight? Or, as you're saying, is the argument still made, well, maybe it was just a bad decision all those 40-something years ago?
Well, of course, lower courts are required to abide by Supreme Court precedent, but the Supreme Court itself is not required to abide by Supreme Court precedent. It does, as a general rule, it tries to. That is one of the if not requirements, it is one of the legal, advisories. It is what they do, but that is not to say that they do not occasionally say the country has changed, circumstances have changed, and we think the law should change with it. That's what they did with gay marriage. Sometimes the things that the court does when it overturns something is popular with the public because things have changed. That's why we have a Supreme Court. That's why it keeps getting replenished with new people, the ideas for the law and the Constitution to keep up with the changes that the country makes. That's sort of the tricky thing here, because most of the country does not believe that Roe v. Wade should be overturned, but most of the country, when you look at public opinion, does believe in restrictions on abortion. So it's very hard to tell, you know, what the populace really wants in this case.
And as far as legislators, are they hearing a message from their constituents, what you just said, maybe not overturn Roe, but they want some restrictions? How are they kind of treading this very, you know, contentious political atmosphere where there seems to be an expectation of being all one way or all the other?
You know, when I first started covering this issue, which is in the late 1980s, there was a significant segment of Republicans who supported abortion rights, and an even larger segment of Democrats who opposed abortion. That is less and less the case. There are very, very few sort of pro-choice Republicans left, particularly in the Senate. There's two. And not that many pro-life Democrats left. There's three or four. So there's actually, at this point, there's more pro-life Democrats in the Senate than there are pro-choice Republicans. Those numbers used to be much bigger. It used to be much less politically party polarized. I think as the nation as a whole gets more polarized, this issue has gotten more polarized with it. So it is very difficult now to be a Democrat and want to vote to confirm a justice who is likely to overturn Roe. It would be very difficult for a Republican to not vote for a justice who's likely to overturn Roe. So we're going to have to see how this all plays out. Right now, what we've seen is that the Republicans trying to kind of play the whole thing down. And I would add, that is what we saw with Justice Alito and Justice Roberts when they were nominated. They insisted that, no, really, they had never thought about this.
We're talking with Julie Rovner right now. She's the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and the host of Kaiser's What the Health podcast. She's with us to talk about abortion and the Supreme Court in the wake of Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement at the end of this month. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you think Justice Kennedy's retirement could affect abortion laws in the country? Do you think the laws on abortion should change? Or do you think that the court set a precedent with Roe v. Wade and that it should be preserved? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post your comments and questions on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation about the impact Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement from the Supreme Court could have on the future of abortion rights. And we're talking with Julie Rovner. She's the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and the host of Kaiser's What the Health podcast. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the impending abortion debate? What kind of justice would you like to see appointed to the Supreme Court? And should any one issue be a litmus test for new justices? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Julie, what can you tell us about some of the judges who are on that short list that President Trump is considering for this position?
Well, as I mentioned, all of them, they're all judges now. They've all been basically vetted by the Federalist Society, which is a conservative legal group. This was a list that was sort of interestingly unveiled by the president. I think there some people have been added to it before he was elected. President Trump was very pro-abortion rights through most of his life. He decided only when he was going to run for president that he was going to be anti-abortion, and this was one of his ways of sort of proving to evangelicals and anti-abortion voters that he would stand with them. So he unveiled this list that they also approved. So there's every expectation that, you know, whoever he chooses is likely to be strongly anti-abortion.
And if Roe v. Wade is overturned as a result of a challenge that comes before the U.S. Supreme Court, what would happen then in the day after the decision? What would happen?
Well, basically, as actually candidate Trump said in that debate, it would go back to the states, that states would basically be able to decide whether or not abortion would remain legal. That's what the situation was before Roe v. Wade. It was legal in a number of states. It was illegal in some states. It was legal with certain restrictions in other states, and that's effectively what would happen again. There are a number of states with what are called trigger laws that, should Roe v. Wade ever be struck down, abortion would immediately become illegal in that state. There are other states where the legislature would have to act to make abortion, to sort of recriminalize abortion.
And so that's what would happen immediately after, if Roe v. Wade as a whole was overturned. What might it look like if there are parts of Roe v. Wade that are found unconstitutional, or there are state cases that come before the U.S. Supreme Court where they say, okay, that restriction is okay, we're keeping Roe, but this new restriction is okay. How does that trickle out then to states?
Well, and that would be more likely. And you've got a number of restrictions that a number of states are passing now. They're trying to ban certain abortion techniques. They're trying to ban abortion after a certain point in pregnancy. And basically, if the court were to uphold one of those laws, then the other laws that were being challenged, those challenges would go away, or other states would be emboldened to pass similar laws, and probably would.
Now, this is a controversial issue, obviously. People feel passionate on both sides and everywhere in the middle. The Kaiser Family Foundation recently polled people about this. What is the current snapshot of public opinion on abortion today?
Well, it's mixed, and it has been. I mean, it was interesting that Gallup actually did a deep dive just last month, and one of the things they found is that while public opinion has changed on many things, it hasn't changed that much over time on abortion. What you have is a fairly small group that thinks abortion should be legal for any reason at any time, an even smaller group that thinks that abortion should be illegal all of the time, and a very large group in the middle that thinks that abortion should basically be legal but with some restrictions. And for that group, it depends very much how you ask the question. There does seem to be, and this is true in almost all the polls, a general opinion that Roe should not be overturned. Again, it depends on how you ask the question, but there does seem to be pretty widespread and fairly robust support for keeping Roe, which may be one reason why you see the Republicans right now sort of trying to downplay the idea that someone would actively be an opponent of keeping Roe.
Let's go to the phones, and Nancy in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Nancy.
I'd like to make two comments. The first one is, I think this is a ridiculous discussion about Roe. Women should be able to control their own bodies. I don't even see the need for any abortion clinics. As the years have gone by, as the decades have gone by, there are so many ways of having birth control. You know, women are totally demonstrating their inadequacies and their inability to seek out information if they still demand that there needs to be abortion clinics.
And was that both of your comments?
No, my other comment has to do with the fact that, why do we even call ourselves the United States of America? As your guest was just speaking and talking about the various ways that states would demonstrate what they would undertake, states have so many individual rights, including drinking alcohol, driving a car, getting married, inheritance, and God knows what else. Why do we even call ourselves the United States of America?
All right. So two interesting points there from Nancy. And so, Julie, I don't know if your research and polling has looked at this, but there does seem to be also a significant challenge to access to birth control as well in some parts of the country. So
yes.
So that often goes hand in hand with wanting to limit abortion.
It does, but that is, you know, there's every bit of evidence that, in fact, one of the reasons the abortion rate has gone down so dramatically, and the abortion rate has gone down so dramatically, is because of the advent of better, more reliable, long-term birth control. The more women are able to use more effective birth control, the fewer unintended pregnancies and the fewer abortions. And yet there is a lot of effort to roll back or restrict some federal funding and federal promotion of birth control. And some of that is religious, and some of that is funding thing, you know, people saying that, well, this is something that perhaps states, if not the federal government, should do. But that is definitely goes hand in hand with this. I remember back in the 80s thinking, oh, I wonder why isn't birth control a middle ground in the abortion debate? And it's because the sides are just as polarized over birth control as they are over abortion.
And also, Nancy was saying that, you know, the states can have very different rules on a lot of things. So this would be going from states deciding on abortion to a federal law deciding on abortion, going back to state law on abortion if Roe was overturned. Do we have any precedent for what that kind of looks like?
Well, I don't know that any that sort of a constitutional what was deemed a constitutional right has been taken away, but certainly we know what it looks like when the states regulate abortion, because that's what we had before Roe v. Wade.
And as we start to wrap up, you know, you talked about the findings showing that while there are some very strong opinions on either end of the spectrum, a lot of the American public falls somewhere in between, maybe not an outright ban, maybe not no control at all, but somewhere in between. Is there any chance that politicians are going to start appreciating that nuance instead?
Well, as I said, probably not, because what we've ended up with is so many politicians, you know, pretty much it is, whether or not it's a litmus test for an incoming Supreme Court justice, it is all but a litmus test that to be a Republican, you need to be anti-abortion. To be a Democrat, you need to be, you know, pro-abortion rights. There are fewer and fewer outliers, which I think makes it harder and harder to find any sort of bipartisan consensus on this issue.
Well, Julie, thanks so much for joining us today. Great discussion.
My pleasure.
Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and the host of Kaiser's What the Health. She joined us to talk about the possible fate of abortion with a new Supreme Court justice being appointed.